Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by Mr. Monday through Friday himself, my good friend Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. What does Monday through Friday mean?
I'm just celebrating the fact that you don't get to work 4 days in a row anymore.
Whoa.
The death of your 3-day weekend.
Why would you bring that up? You're like trying to hurt my feelings. I tell you that in privacy, and then you bring that up to try to hurt me? I don't think that's a good friend.
Well, I'm an older brother, so I have to do things
like
this.
You're not an old... Oh, my God.
I'm the oldest
brother. You're the worst older brother
I've ever met. I'm the oldest brother.
What do you... No.
Yeah.
You know what? I wonder who's a better older brother, you or Michael.
Probably me.
I don't know about that. Michael, yeah. You know what? Michael loves more.
He only loves himself. Okay. He loves the idea of loving other people to give the illusion that he cares, but he doesn't really care.
Wait, isn't that like what a crazy person would be doing when they're planning
murder
you?
I think so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's healthy.
You know, it kind of sounds like William Faulkner, and if it's the springtime, there's flowers blooming, now's the time to open up those books, lay in the grass and read some Faulkner, and really enjoy the weather, seize this time of year.
Oh my God, nobody is doing that. So I have a story for you.
I'm ready.
All right. So I had a work function, and it was in Austin, so you know I had to drive an hour and a half to go to, I can't remember, it's like Austin Turbo's there. Their minor league hockey league team?
No, that's the basketball team. It's the Spurs team. Their D-League team.
Whoever their minor league hockey team is, that's where we went to. And it was
Cedar Park Stars?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So we went out there, and it was like upper management came down, and like we were just having like a nice little work function outside. Well, one of the upper management decided to bring cornhole. And, dude, they just decided to start saying, oh, we're the best. And then they challenged Taylor to cornhole.
Uh-huh.
So what people just don't realize is I'm a 5'6 guy that weighs 130 pounds that somehow is good at the most ridiculous. How did you put it before with the foosball thing?
So you're good at any sport that doesn't require athleticism. Darts, bowling, lawn darts, horseshoes, golf, pool.
Cornhole.
Beer pong.
So let's just say that Taylor got on the table, was challenged. And by the end of it, I was running the table.
Yeah.
And they also said that I was truly a fat kid trapped inside of a little man's body.
Interesting.
So I don't know what that means. But
and now you're upper management, right?
Yeah.
Say I'm the captain now?
We were playing for pink slips.
Oh.
So look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah. I'm the upper manager now.
Yeah, but so whenever I won, they didn't give me their pink slip. So I guess it was all
cowards.
That's all I keep thinking.
Cowards.
So, can you top that type of story for the week? I mean, I feel like you don't have any work functions. Do you even work?
Yeah, I work very hard.
You don't have a job.
I work very hard.
I don't know what you do. You're like Chandler from Friends. Nobody knows what you do. You just say you go to work every day.
I dare you to walk one day in my shoes and step into my world.
My God.
I dare you. It's very hard out there.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, it's fine. No, I guess the only story I have from this week is that, you know, I went to my friend's ranch, and then I took my dog there. I was like, man, this dog was great. She was chasing turkeys. She didn't go running away. Just perfect. She's being a beautiful animal. It's like, you know,
that's good.
I really love this dog.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I was a child and I dreamed of having a dog, I wanted a dog just like this. I'm like, you know, I'm so glad I have this dog. I don't think I like this dog anymore. She broke out the cage like 4 times this week. She she got in the refrigerator, sprinkled spinach all over the floor. And it was like Valentine's Day, but instead of rose petals, it was spinach.
Whoa, wait, but wouldn't that mean she was being sweet to you?
Maybe.
She was doing something nice for you to come home
maybe
to?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. It was a very sad Valentine's Day, though. And she ate a bunch of plastic and puked on the floor, and she just chewed a bunch of stuff up, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sounds like my Valentine's Day night.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm going to do. So I don't know. So I don't think I like this dog anymore. And so I'm very sad about that.
So my story at least had a positive moment where I felt like I was the comeback.
It's the opposite, though.
Your story was just depressing. You know, now you may be getting rid of your dog.
Well, I'm going to keep her, but I don't know what I'm going to do with her.
What if she wants to get rid of you? What now?
Maybe she needs to evolve a little bit faster.
What if
get stronger?
What if that is the real question, Matt? What if she doesn't like you?
I don't think so.
Whoa.
I think she likes me.
Oh, you're very confident in that.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, you should see the way she looks at me. Nobody's ever looked like anybody like that before in the history of the world.
Yeah, so I'm just going to move on to the next topic here. Because
that's the only topic.
That's it? You know what? Let's just keep going with it then. So your eyes, by the way, glisten in the sun.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going home.
Yeah. So for tonight's show, we have some reader questions. Ho ho!
There
we
it
got
is.
Some reader questions.
Well, wait, Matt, how did you pick out like only a few questions from like our 3 million viewers?
I mean, I parsed through them, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I parsed through them.
Like, it must have been hard. I mean, seriously, so many people hit up our Twitter accounts. It is nuts.
Oh, yeah. My entire bathtub is full with fan mail. It's out of my ears.
I'm telling you to throw it out. It looks like Harry Potter in this house, man.
I can't throw it. Yeah, it does. I can't really throw anything out.
I thought you liked that reference.
It's just shooting out the chimney in the fireplace. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Dang, that was cool. So we have some great reader questions tonight. The first one is from Liz Wold. He said, she said, I don't know who this person is.
We're not judging.
They said, should we look into getting Dez Bryant? Maybe they could provide the same sort of value that Demaryius Thomas provided. And we're looking at this from a Houston Texans perspective, not Dallas Cowboys perspective at
the
moment.
God.
And, you know, if you forgot, Dez Bryant was released by the Cowboys, was very upset, said he had tons of offers, didn't really have any offers at all. Signed with the New Orleans Saints, like 3 weeks into the season.
By the way,
five weeks into the season.
You think he regrets that Baltimore contract?
Oh, for sure.
Like that 3 years, $21 million. Yeah. Dollars. Like it was just there. They wanted you. No, I'm cool. Somebody else wants me for more money. Like, that was there.
Yeah. The ex needs, you know, at least $10 million a year. Yeah. And then he goes to New Orleans. Wasn't playing football for, like, 8 weeks. Tried to play football immediately. Tore his Achilles in the red zone doing something. And, like, all the Saints players are like, we love you, Dez.
Dude, they were all, like, so big on him after, like, 3 hours.
So you've known him for 3 days. Yeah. It was like in summer camp whenever, like, 2 13-year-olds fall in love and they leave 3 days. And they're, I'm never going to see you again. They cry.
Dude, bug
they
juice,
scream.
Man. Bug juice from Disney Channel.
Bug juice?
Bug juice.
I thought you said butt juice. So that's very inappropriate for 13-year-olds.
Oh, this is
Taylor.
A family show,
It is
man.
A family show.
Wait. Okay, Bug Juice was a really good camp show. I used to binge watch the crap out of that during summertime. Butt Juice, I'm guessing you were binge watching that.
Nah, I don't know. I don't binge watch. Dude.
What was that about?
I'm an intellectual. I binge read, dude.
You binge read underneath the tree in the beautiful weather with the sun hitting
exactly.
In the shade.
Lay a moving blanket out in the backyard, take the shirt off. Tan the nips, you know, read about geology.
Tanning the nips. I thought this was a family show, Matt.
Yeah, it is.
People just don't tan their nips and then say they tan their nips.
Well, that's what I call my epidermis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My epidernips. So, but yeah, I don't think the Texans should really sign Dez Bryant. You know, he's older. He tore his Achilles. He's also, like, primarily just a red zone threat. You know, Houston, the red zone, they can't run the ball in the red zone. They have DeAndre Hopkins, who's kind of like your fade sideline wide receiver there anyways. They do have, you know, the Thomas rookies and Ryan Griffin, who can be red zone receivers down there. Will Fuller, you know, can run some quick slant routes. And then Deshaun Watson used as a runner. So, like, I don't really think Dez Bryant's worth paying. You know, you have to pay $5 million a year for him to maybe catch 4 touchdowns or something like that. I think if it comes down to, you know, week 6 and you need wide receiver help, you know, fine, if that's the best you can do. But I would rather have them pursue someone like Dontrell Inman, who was really great to end the end of last season in Indianapolis. And there's also just better wide receivers available still currently. Maybe even Jordy Nelson would be better than Dez Bryant because at least he played last year. Chris Hogan would be better than Dez Bryant because he played last year. So there's other guys out there I think you would look at first before you come down to Dez Bryant whenever you need backup wide receiver help.
Yeah, so I'm not going to give you the Jordy Nelson one, but I'll give you the others easily because I'm kind of – I don't understand where this would be kind of a positive thing, only because just like you stated, I mean, he's older. He's just coming off the Achilles tear. And my big question to you even, do you think even with later down the season, let's say that some team does get desperate needing to pick up a wide receiver.
Ooh, maybe – what about desperate? You know, desperate.
What is
desperate, Brian?
Is this what tonight's show is going to be? Is this what it's going to be?
That's a good one.
Is, So that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's what we're working
with.
Dude,
right
I'm
now. On fire right now.
The bar is so low right now.
Did you see how high he got?
No, see, this is we need James Cameron to help raise the bar right now.
All right.
All right, so whenever it comes to see, I'm losing my train of thought over here. Dez Bryant, though, with you saying that, yeah, a team maybe later on down the season will want to pick him up whenever they're needing it, injuries, that happens. Do you even think he's going to be working out, though?
I think so.
I mean, that's why I feel like even the Saints, whenever they picked him up and then he injured himself, he was sitting around. I don't think Dez is really the guy that's really out busting his tail off. And I think that's why Dallas got rid of him. Once he signed that big contract, he was done. He got his money and he wants to just be known as great without really working to be great.
Yeah.
And even with later down the season, when he does become fully healthy, I just think he's not going to be able to do anything still. He's not even going to be doing anything himself while he's waiting. He's just going to be doing what we do, sitting on the couch.
You know, going to the gym, doing a lot of reps, low weight.
But I agree with the Inman, man. Inman would be amazing, especially for Houston, but I'm not on the Dez train.
I mean, he would be like, he'd be Houston's fourth wide receiver until Will Fuller gets hurt in week two, and then he becomes their second receiver. I don't know Dez Bryant personally. I don't know enough to understand his work ethic, but I think he's one of those guys who's just always been a monster athlete, bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody else. And then you get older, and he kind of starts to lose it, and unless you put the work into your body, you know, you lose a lot quicker than if you are, and you're taking really great care of yourself, and you're making sure that you stay in shape with your athleticism. And, like, I think the guys who don't do that, whenever they get to be 27, 28, they kind of fall off, you know, quicker than guys who are constantly not eating salt and whatever it takes to be good at playing football until you're 37 years old.
So
too many tomatoes. That's why Dez Bryant got hurt. I'm like Tom Brady, you know.
Who's eating salt?
I remember, like, being in seventh grade. I
thought they snort salts.
No. I said salt, like table salt.
Wait, who's eating table salt?
So when I was 13, they did, like, at ESPN the magazine coverage, Dwight Freeney. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I haven't had salt in 7 months. I'm 3% body fat right now. Like, yeah, I'm going to become a great football player. I'm done eating salt. It didn't really work out, but I ate salt.
It was great for that 1-2 years.
Well, I'm saying personally, a 13-year-old football player is like, okay, I'm not going to eat salt and become a great football player. It didn't work out that well.
Oh.
I think I ate salt that day.
Well, I think, man, you were a great football player. I went to every single one of your games. I wore a t-shirt that said you were MVP. You were my MVP.
No matter what. Yeah, my claim to fame was being week 3 offensive player of the week. We lost 49-0.
Yeah.
As a right tackle, offensive player of the week in a 49-0 game.
But you did great on your side.
Protected. My Pro Football Focus grade that day was like 93. Pretty good stuff.
By the way, it just goes back to reminding me of everyone, the positivity. By the way, I'm going to jump on some Dallas Cowboy talk real quick. Of Jason Witten, everyone's like, oh, look at him, Jason Witten. Dak saying he's going to be a great blocker. Nobody would ever say, like, hey, I can't wait for this tight end to be a great blocker. Who in the world wants to watch a tight end be a great blocker versus actually being a great tight end in this NFL these days? I mean, for God's sakes, the Kelce, the Ertz, are you literally watching them going, man, those are great blockers?
I like some good blocking.
But you're not saying that.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is,
it's a small part. Yeah. You're not wanting a tight end for him to be, yeah, we need that extra guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so the Texans signed Darren Fells this week. He's a blocking tight end. They signed for 1 year, like $700,000.
Yeah, but that's different. That's $700,000.
I mean, it's different than signing Jason Witten for $3.5 million.
Yes.
The weirdest thing about Witten, though, is he's slow and old, but somehow he's open all the time for, like, 5 yards.
It's easy.
He can get 5 yards whenever he wants it.
Man, he doesn't run a real route. He literally, they go, Jason, just go run out there. Just go run somewhere.
Just run 4 yards and turn around for the ball.
Okay, sounds good, coach.
And then fall forward for a yard.
You know, I just feel bad that the Monday night thing just really didn't work out.
He just wasn't good at it. But he was better than McFarlane, though.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just really the problem.
I mean, they're both, like, but just as bad, I guess.
Dude, if Jason Witten had, like, a Mike Tirico with him, I think that he'd be just fine. Cause then
I like that guy, though. I can't remember his name.
No, I don't like that guy.
I like how, he talks so super fluorously. Like, I loved it.
I don't like that guy at all.
And, I can't really do an impression of it. But
I don't know why they just don't hire us at this point.
I don't want to do that job.
What?
I don't want to do that job.
It's like the greatest gig alive. Oh, hey, you have a job. Show up on Monday night. Okay.
I mean, I could watch some old things. Oh, you got to love this guy here.
You got to love him. Just like, he's one of my Taylor grinders.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What a dream. What a dream.
Good stuff. This is a family podcast, so I'll bite my tongue. So we had a couple questions from Nashmeister. He had one comment and three questions. First was, keep Tim Jernigan out of Indy. I agree from a Texans perspective, but from a football perspective, I disagree. Is this the worst free agent class ever? I don't know. I feel like it's not good.
It's pretty bad.
But I don't remember. Every single time, like the only free agent class I really remember was 2016 because Houston signed Lamar Miller and Brock Osweiler that year. I remember 2017 because the Jaguars signed all those guys that year.
Well, last year, I mean, you had Rams signing like their entire team essentially.
But they just signed Sue and that was really it. And then they traded for Peters and they traded for Tlaib.
You're right,
because
then they just signed the big contracts
and
for their guys that
they signed Sue for
had.
1 year. They traded for Cook, signed him. They just made a bunch of trades. The Eagles made a bunch of trades. But, like, I don't really remember thinking all about last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Last year, like, I'm trying to think, like, what was the big deal?
Yeah.
I don't either. Like, I don't feel like this year would be any different
from
last.
Ask me what I ate for lunch yesterday.
Hey, what'd you eat for lunch yesterday?
Spinach salad.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so... So where does Sue sign was a question he asked. Hold that thought because we'll be talking about that here in just 1 second.
Spoiler, it's Dallas Cowboys.
And lastly, does this bad free agency clash change your opinion on Jadeveon Clowney's contract extension, especially with somebody like Trey Flowers getting $18 million a year with the Detroit Lions? And it hasn't really changed my perspective because my perspective the entire time has been give Jadeveon Clowney a big contract. If you have the cap, like, go through free agency with the idea that you're going to improve your team, unlike what the Texans have done so far. And then after free agency is over, see how much cap space you have, and then evaluate if you can do something like front-load Clowney's contract. Because as of right now, with the way it looks, you'd want to give Clowney, like, Texans have $44 million in cap space. If you're going to sign Clowney to a big extension, you're like, hey, Jadeveon, we're going to give you $30 million this year. So that way, you know, you pay $30 million in cap space this year, but you save money the year after that. And then you're better prepared to, you know, extend to Deshaun Watson, that sort of thing. So I think that's the Texans' idea right now. And regardless of how the free agent class is shaped up, it really doesn't change my opinion what they should do with Clowney. I think it's a no-brainer to extend him. And then with the amount, I think the only thing that's changed is that the amount of money they have available right now, that they should look at doing something like just do some wild, you know, front-loading of that contract to give him some like $30 million this year.
So, I don't listen to your other podcast because I only listen to my voice, but is Jadeveon, didn't y'all franchise?
Yeah, he's franchised.
So.
He's not happy about it.
That's
though.
What I was going to say.
He's mad.
So, my question to you, though, is do you think that Houston franchised him in the thought of signing him to a longer
deal?
Yeah,
that's the idea.
Or what if he gets hurt? Because when do you think this long-term contract is coming up? Do you think it's going to be before game one?
Yeah, before week one.
Ooh, what if it's not?
I mean, that's what I assume.
I'm gonna make a.
I mean, if it isn't, then they'll just extend the franchise. They'll just do the DeMarcus Lawrence thing. He'll just be mad again.
Yeah, but it's only because Dallas lost everybody because you know our guys can only smoke weed and can't play football, and so we're kind of stuck with DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't feel like that with Houston. In a way, I feel like they're kind of being cautious. So if he does get hurt, then they're not screwed.
Yeah,
but it also pisses him off this year.
I mean, I'd be more worried about J.J. Watt getting hurt than Clowney, though. Because Watson was 30. He's played one 16-game season in 3 years.
That's what I mean, though. Everyone's
and, like,
kind of
Watt's,
expecting that.
Watt's cap hit this year is like $21 million. Like, they could have cut Watt and saved $15 million if they wanted to, something like that.
Yeah, I want you to cut J.J. Watt. For Houston Texans to cut J.J. Watt. Yeah, that's a great idea. Hey, he doesn't help anything with the community. In fact, he spits on the Houston community.
Yeah,
yeah, he does so much you would never be able.
I understand.
Like worse than the Eli
like, look,
Manning
I
sitting
understand.
Down where New York then had to like just fire pretty much Coach McAdoo. The entire public of New York fired him. It would be the exact same thing with you. Ooh, what if this is your chance to get rid of Bill O'Brien? You need Bill O'Brien to like sit JJ or like trade JJ or cut JJ, do something, and that way the entire crowd will then turn on him and finally. Bill O'Brien leaves, and finally the Houston Texans deserve their glory as scooping to the number one seed in the AFC.
And then they lose in the divisional round anyways.
Yeah, but seriously, with Bill O'Brien, I feel like they have a better shot.
You mean without Bill O'Brien?
Oh, without.
Without.
Well, I'm sorry.
The only reason why I say that, though, is just because there's this thing in the Houston Texans community, if you want to call it that, that they should trade Jadeveon Clowney. He's franchise tagged. Get a first-round pick out of it because he's penalized too many times, or he could get hurt.
What?
Or he's never had 10 sacks. Clowney was just as valuable as Watt was last year.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old, and he has the potential to get better. Watt's never going to be as good as he was before. He padded a lot of his production against backup right tackles last season, and he's being paid a lot more, and he's 30 years old, and he's played one full season in 3 years. So like, I just like Clowney more as a player than Watt at the moment, but everybody's going to love Watt forever because that 11 from 14 was like just the most surreal stuff ever. And of course, like you're saying, you know, he's a beautiful man who has touched
like
the lives of so many.
Most beautiful man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. What was it? So my uncles, because, you know, Houston Texans, I get trash talked every single holiday when it comes to family reunions. But it's the funniest thing. So
hey, we recycle in this household, Taylor. There's no trash talk here.
What? Okay. You know what? You don't recycle anything. In fact, your dog just destroys everything.
My heart, especially.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm so sad, man.
Okay. So either way, what I was saying is that my aunt's mother, so I guess step, would you even call it a step? What?
Your aunt's mother?
Yeah, aunt's mother, but step aunt.
That's your great aunt.
No, but
your great step aunt?
Yeah. Is that what this, either way, she refers to him only as Saint JJ.
Mm.
Like every single time, it's like, yeah, look at JJ. You mean Saint JJ. Oh, yeah, yeah, look at that tackle. You mean Saint JJ just tackled. Like, what are you talking about? Like, let me watch the game.
And then she drinks three glasses of wine, and you mean hot JJ? My boyfriend JJ?
Three glasses of wine at my family reunion? Try, like, three bottles and then maybe.
Well, that's how it starts, but then that's what it takes to loosen the lips up a little bit more.
The only thing, three glasses, that takes me to loosen my... Everybody in my family needs, like, more than that.
Oh,
I'm the lightweight in the family, man. Everyone makes fun of me. Oh, look, Taylor had two beers. Everybody watch out.
Well, I mean, you are like 6'7", 270, so yeah, you better watch out. It is embarrassing.
Yeah, but I'm beautiful, so that's all that matters.
I wish I was beautiful.
I am beautiful, no matter what.
Okay. All right, good stuff. So, yeah, that's all the reader questions that we have for tonight. Thank you for them. I mean, we had to go through a million of them to get to these two. They were great questions. If you have any questions in the future, don't hesitate to reply in the post. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you have the opportunity to ask reader questions whenever you want. And if you want my home address, I can give it to you if you want to send a reader question in the mail. Or if you ever just want to like send me a gift, you know, I would greatly appreciate a Jamie Sharper Bal Red jersey in the mail. I wear a large to XL depending on the height.
Wow, so you just really wanted somebody to send you a gift right there. You're asking for gifts right now. You know that, right?
I'm so lonely without this dog.
You're so lonely. Just give me something.
Yeah, I miss this dog so
much.
You just
need a letter. Go read one of the letters. Oh, by the way, you have to tell the podcast listeners that if you are going to send mail, it can only be by owl. That's the only way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, it's the rules.
Except I wouldn't have an owl. I would definitely have, like, I would have the frog, I think.
You would have a frog.
Yeah.
You would have the rat scabbards.
No, that's dude. I don't want to get in on that. It makes me so mad. It disgusts me. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we come back. We'll talk. We'll play some matchmaking. We'll play the dating game or the Halo 2 matchmaking lobby and find the best fits for the remaining free agents out there. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. So the topic for tonight's show, if you already forgot after that long commercial break, is we're going to be going through the remaining unrestricted free agents out there and going through some top fits that we have out there. So I have like 8 or 9 or so here. Taylor, I know that you have like 50 or so. You mapped out every single remaining free agent where you would like them to go.
It's nuts, man, what I've done over here. My research committee has just given me a list, and I'm just rolling with this list.
You have such a beautiful, complicated brain.
It's insane that I actually just have the time. I'm such a busy guy that, you know, me being able to just do this type of research on a nonstop basis, you know what? It just goes back to my drive. I just feel like I have a bigger drive than most. More than you.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never cared. All right, so the first free agent fit.
You make me so depressed.
The first free agent fit I have here is I want to see Jordy Nelson play for the New England Patriots. Because you know him as a wide receiver. He would like definitely just come back from the dead and catch like at least 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. And also I want to take this moment, too, of appreciation for the Tennessee Titans for ensuring Adam Humphries didn't go to New England this year, because that guy would have had like 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, and it would have been despicable. So
that would have been so awesome, though. You know, it would have been so badass if he went there. Come on, Tom would have had like such a great weapon.
Yeah, he would have been.
He would have had Edelman and Humphries going. That would have been so great.
Yeah, it would have been very shocking. So instead, like, they're not going to resign Chris Hogan, so now you just get an older version of him and Jordy Nelson. And I like the way it looks. It makes sense. It just seems like a New England thing to do, and I don't think it's going to happen necessarily, but I think it's a good fit for old Jordy. Or he can go back to Green Bay and hang out with Aaron Rodgers, because it seems like he's the only person in the world who likes Aaron Rodgers.
That was actually my pick.
From all of his teams, too.
I was going to say that he actually should go back to Green Bay, because Green Bay will be opening him like with open arms. Aaron Rodgers loves him. They're BFFs. When they were on the same team, weren't they roommates?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much butt buddies.
Hey, whoa.
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 What?
I don't understand.
What do you mean you don't understand?
I don't get it.
Okay, you don't understand. I feel like you do. Either way, the Jordy
Nelson. You said bug buddies. You know, we have bug juice. We got bug buddies.
Butt buddies.
No, bug buddies.
Butt juice.
No, we got bug buddies. They collect ladybugs and stuff together.
Oh, all right. You know what? Can I just go? God, I'm trying to say my piece here.
Yeah.
All right. So Jordy Nelson. I feel like him going to Aaron Rodgers is him meeting back up with his love, his long-lost love. So it's just the perfect fit. New England, I just feel like he's not going to work because he's too slow. He's just, they need a quick guy, and he's just not fast enough. I mean, it's pretty much you're having Edelman, who has already lost his step but is still somehow catching balls. Then you're going to add Jordy Nelson, who's lost even a bigger step.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess they don't want to get older.
He could run fades really far. I don't know.
It'd be like the oldest white team anyone has ever seen if he would join that.
Yeah, it'd be like the Masters out there.
Yeah, the Masters.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was some.
Jim Furyk, Phil Mickelson.
Dude, Jim Furyk has the most screwed up swing.
You mean the sweetest swing? That, you can never teach that. It's the greatest loop anyone has ever seen, because everyone loves to make fun of Charles Barkley's swing, because it is the most ridiculous thing anyone's seen. However, the Jim Furyk thing is also crazy to think about. He loops his club on the way down. How do you loop it?
I just remember playing like PGA 97 on the Macintosh. Whenever you had the triple click to hit the golf ball, I remember playing like Skims with Jim Furyk. I'm like, what the hell is this? Weirdest thing ever.
My parents couldn't afford that. Sorry, we weren't rich. We didn't have no Macintosh. We didn't have no game when I was 6 years old. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, very rich.
Sorry, grew up poor over here.
Very rich household I grew up in. And you hate it because you ain't it. So the next one I have here, I want to talk about Ndamukong Suh. Because we had a question from Nash Meister. Let's go to the big hitter. I want him to sign with the New York Jets. Because the Jets signed CJ Mosley. They're probably going to draft Josh Allen from Kentucky. They have Leonard Williams. They re-signed Anderson as well, too, to play defensive end. And they run a 3-4, and you know, Sue learned how to play 3-4 defensive end last year in Los Angeles. He also played nose tackle, too. And so I think he can play either one of those interior spots for the Jets. The Jets have plenty of cap space right now, and they could definitely just be like, hey, here's $11 million. And the Jets have always had this problem where they spend all this money on their defense, and then the 15th best defense every year. So they spend like $70 million, $80 million on their cap, put all this money on these guys, draft guys in the top seven every year, and they just get mediocre performance. And so I mean, they've already kind of gone all in with trading for Osmeli, for making the signing of Le'Veon Bell. You made a lot of big moves this offseason. They have the third pick in the NFL draft this year. They have Sam Darnold. I think, you know, Sue would be perfect for the Jets. And I think he just wants to go like some whoever pays him the most money. I think that's where he's gonna go. Hopefully he just stays as a 1 year mercenary the rest of his career.
Hey Sue, Dallas has a 1 year $5 million offer. And you'd be
like
you
have to give him like 10 or 11.
We're waiting for you.
How much money would you give him?
A $5 million offer for 1 year.
What if it took 10?
I'm not going to do 10. He's not worth 10.
He's not worth 10?
Is he worth 10 to you?
Yeah, I think so.
He's not worth 10.
I mean, he got 12.
Most I'd give him is 8. He's not hitting double figures with me.
He had 12 in Los Angeles last year.
Just like a Randall Cobb contract. Just give us that 1 year, $5 million. By the way, Randall Cobb, such a great signing for the Cowboys.
I mean, he hasn't been good in 4 years.
The problem is, like what I tell everybody, Taylor, can't you wait for Randall Cobb? Yeah, I can't wait to watch him. And then week 6, he's going to be out.
Or watch him
so much fun.
Catch a drag route on 3rd and 21 for 15 yards and then have it just inflate his stats because he doesn't get first downs or anything effective.
It's true.
He hasn't been good in 4 years. The Dallas does have $19 million available.
Well, I would like if Sue actually did come to Dallas. That wasn't me just blowing smoke. That was.
What about $9 million? Would you do $9 million?
Man, why? No.
The only thing about him is he's going to play 10 games in the regular season. He'll be on the field for all 16. He's only going to play 10.
Yeah, I know.
And then the playoffs happen. He's going to be a monster.
The only thing that's nice, though, about being a Dallas Cowboy fan is typically whenever you're playing for us, you're under a microscope more than any other player. So especially if Sue were to come to the Dallas, everybody would be like, oh, look at this signing. He would be noticeable on defense. Everybody would be picking him out, watching what he does. So, I mean, it would be fun to watch. I think it'd be great just to have somebody else, some type of other threat.
Yeah.
The problem is, like what you're saying, I just don't want to pay him that much. But
I mean, it's 1 year. Who cares?
But somebody's going to pay him that. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to pay him $10 million, and it's going to be like a contender. Because just like what you're saying, why wouldn't he be just a one-year mercenary at this point? Just keep going to team, and the only team I feel like he wouldn't want to go to is New England. Because he still wants to do what Sue wants
to
do.
He would still go there. They gave him $10 million.
New England's not going to give him
$10
million.
I mean, you saw Michael Bennett. He's like, I hate New England. He gets traded. He's like, dude, I love it here.
He is not. Yeah, Michael Bennett.
It'd be the same thing with Sue, though. Like, I mean, I like the idea of the Sue just being like a Hun, like some like northern barbarian who just like shows up to
Sue
pillage.
The Hun.
Yeah, and he just like shows up at a different team every year and pays for, you know, 1 year, $10 million, and just slowly gets less and less as he gets older and worse. Also, I think Sue would be really good at Rob Marinelli, too, because Marinelli's just he's a wizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, the greatest wizard of them all. No, yeah. he's not that great of a wizard, man.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Every defensive lineman's great in Dallas. He turns everybody into a great defensive lineman.
You know what? It doesn't.
He's like the best. He's like the Scaramucci of New England. That's Marinelli in Dallas.
You know, the worst part about watching Dallas in the defense is, I agree with you, for the first half of the game, it's exactly like that. Second half of the game, for some reason, it's not like that, and you have to rely on Dak Prescott being able to outscore the opponent in the fourth quarter because he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
And by outscore, you mean score 24 points and
he can do it.
Throw for less than 250 yards.
What are you talking about, man? He goes in the fourth quarter, and it's like 180 yards in that quarter alone.
Glad.
That's what he does.
I'm glad that we're talking like this in March.
Haters gonna hate.
And we have 6 more months until football starts, and we're still doing this. It's good. It's good to know.
But seriously, Sue should come to Dallas, all right? Doesn't need to go to the Jets like your little theory, which, by the way, you know why the Jets think like that. It's because that's how they got to the AFC Championship game, was being able to build your defense instead of focusing on the offense, which, in fact, they just haven't been able to build that good of a defense.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
they spend a bunch of money, spend a bunch of high draft picks, and they're just 16th in defense every year.
It's just, but it's not even the same. They have like one or two guys that stand out each and every single season, but it's nothing that's really special that's able to come together. But also, their offense can't score ever.
I mean,
15 points is really their average, man.
It wasn't that. I can look it up.
Look it up.
You want to know?
Sam Darnold.
I mean, like, think about
the truth.
I wasn't that big of a Darnold fan, and then he was awesome in that game against Houston last year. And then also, that Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, like, week 14 game last year was one of the best games of the season. It was so unbelievably good watching those two.
You can't go a whole show without talking about Josh Allen.
I talked about him twice in a way because there's Josh Allen of Buffalo, or of Kentucky, I should say. Josh Allen of Kentucky, who the Jets are linked to draft. So you said 15 points a game they scored.
15 points average.
They scored 20.8.
By the way,
which was 23rd in football.
I'm not that far off.
You're a little far off. You're about five
points. Come on. We're averaging up. I feel like I was there. This is Price is Right's rule. I'm still in.
Maybe if we were sizing a disconnect for an electrical service, you'd be correct, but we aren't.
What?
Do you know who was last?
So who's last in points per game?
Yeah, last year.
Okay. Hold on. I think this is easy. Baltimore.
No, my favorite team.
Your favorite? It's Buffalo.
No, the Arizona Cardinals. 14.1 points per game last year.
That is terrible. That is really bad.
It's a middle school.
That is really, really bad. Wait, where was Baltimore ranked? Let me see how bad I was on that guess.
I just want to read a couple of these scores from Arizona. You ready?
Oh, God.
6-0, 14, 17, 28, 17, 10, 18, 14, 21, 10, 23, 14, 9, 24.
Who's the 28 against?
Oh, are you ready? The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
Well, the 49ers had a terrible defense. And we talked about them before.
We liked the 49ers like 3 weeks ago. This house.
I like the 49ers for this year. I'm excited for them to draft Quinnen Williams, too. So the Ravens averaged 24.3 points per game, which is 13.
Man, I was way off on that. I can't believe they scored that many points. I could have sworn with having Joe Flacco as my quarterback in fantasy, he gave me crap.
Yeah.
God, I hate Joe Flacco.
Yeah, well, you don't...
He's better than Case Keenum, though, right?
Yeah, and that brings me to my next person here. The next free agent I have is Brock Osweiler. I hope he doesn't sign with anybody because I'm so excited for him to re-sign with Denver in, like, week 9 and just be completely terrible because Joe Flacco is going to be just an aberration in Denver. He's going to be so bad there. They don't have an offensive line that can block long enough. He doesn't have, like, the... They have a good run game, but like the only thing that's interesting about Flacco in Denver is that the air is thin, so maybe he can throw the ball really far and have work out. And like I like Sutton, he's good. Sanders is good, but I don't think you have enough like downfield guys for it to work out. And he's just bad. Like Flacco's not good.
Okay, I'm not gonna comment on Brock Osweiler. Why is that even on your list? Why did you look up Brock Osweiler to talk about a free agent? Nobody's going to sign that human being, Matt. Nobody should sign him.
Somebody's going to sign him.
Nobody should.
He's tall.
So, that's what you're giving me. Well, first thing Taylor, he's really tall.
He's tall.
You see that hair?
It's white, brown. He stands in the pocket, and that's all you need.
Brown eyes.
Even better. Blue eyes is better, but brown eyes works too.
Oh my.
That's all it takes to be a backup quarterback in football. It's unbelievably stupid, but it works like that every year.
Okay, so I'm not going to make the comments, but I'm just going to go to your Joe Flacco little spiel over there. I was on the Joe Flacco train last year. I'm not going to do it again. He's a big liar. He's a big phony. So all I'm going to say is no matter who his targets are, he's going to look good for like every other game. But he's like Jay Cutler to me. He's just waking up in the morning being like, damn it, I guess I have to go out there.
No, I think Flacco cares.
I don't think he cares much more than Jay Cutler.
You think he won a Super Bowl and he doesn't care anymore? He cares more than Cutler, though.
Are you sure?
Everybody cares more than Cutler.
He has his Super Bowl, and then he goes around being like, I'm done. I did
no,
it.
No, I mean, I do think Flacco cares. I just think he's not good.
I didn't think he cared one bit last year. With Lamar Jackson on your ass, and you just literally go out there and lay dud after dud after dud. Come on.
I mean, he's just not good, but it wasn't lack of caring.
No, I'm not believing that.
He hasn't been good in 4 or 5 years.
Matt, I straight up watched him with he was on the 8-yard line for a touchdown, and he had Lamar Jackson
in the
corner wide open. And he threw in the back of the end zone. He had him wide open.
Yeah.
No matter what you tell me right there, that's just Joe Flacco not giving a crap and
just
saying I'm done.
Well, I guess the only example I can have to agree with you wasn't really putting out a wide receiver, and he just, like, put his hands down his pants.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm not doing this.
Every single time they lined him up there, it's like, oh, Lamar Jackson's coming in for a play. Where's Joe Flacco going? He's lined up as wide receiver. Hands in his pocket.
It kind of reminds me of those videos of like LeBron James not playing defense.
You mean Kuzma having to push him?
Bring one of those vines out of here. Yeah, so the next guy I have here is free agent running back Alfred Blue. I can't wait to watch him play for the Atlanta Legends. I think he's going to be great there next season.
Is that really where he's going? Nobody needs Alfred Blue?
Nobody's going to sign him. He's one of the worst running backs in the league.
What are you talking about? He's solid.
He averages 3.2 yards a carry.
That's really good.
Behind the same offense. Behind the same offensive line, Lamar Miller averaged 4.6 yards a carry.
Look, if you gave Alfred Blue the ball four times, he's going to get a first down every time with that average. Right?
Maybe so.
So there it is. That's not bad.
But you also have to take into account that some of these runs came on 3rd and 12 when he gets 7 yards and doesn't get a first down. He had DVOA
third
of
and 12's
like
not
negative 39%.
Listen.
Yeah, but I'm saying it inflates his yards per carry.
Listen, you know what? I think he needs to. He needs a solid quarterback. I think he needs to go to Buffalo. I think Allen will be able show him the ropes.
No, Buffalo has Frank Gore now. They don't need Alfred Blue.
Okay. Is that what you really just said to me?
Yeah, that's what I
said. Frank Gore.
And they have LeSean McCoy still.
Yeah, both of those. Hey,
man, that's like 60 years right there.
I was going to say, what's their combined age?
It's hilarious that that's like the oldest backfield of all time. They're like, one's 36 and one's 30.
What is Buffalo doing? And then they signed Cole Beasley to that insane contract.
Yeah, we'll talk about them later.
Have a whole subject over Buffalo?
Yeah, we'll have
to stop obsessing over him, Matt.
Well, next week I think we're going to do the best free agent signings. The week after we'll do the worst free agent signings.
Nice.
And then we'll try to preview the NFL draft. Maybe we'll do a live mock draft.
Ooh, we should
at Buffalo Wild Wings.
We should draft ourselves. Yes.
Yeah. I got to make some phone calls.
Do it.
The next player I want to talk about here is Timmy Chernigan. Nash Meister said, I don't hope he goes to Indianapolis. I really want him to go to Indianapolis. Like, it sounded like a 2-year, $24 million deal. Just give him the same contract he gave Justin Houston. Like, he's probably like one of the 20 best run-stopping defensive tackles in football.
So what do you want him to go to Indianapolis for?
He offers a little bit of interior pass rush. He's strong. He's nasty. And the other thing, I mean, the reason why I want him to sign there is because the Colts have $72 million in cap space. So it's pretty much like if you're in an auction drafting, you know, fantasy, for example, and they don't bid anybody until like the 30th player, and they just get every single player that they want.
I was going to say, waiting low for that opportune moment in the auction?
That's what they're doing right now. They signed Houston. They're looking to sign Shane Ray. They're just going to sign a bunch of depth guys and, you know, all of them are going to work out because that's what happened to him last year. And so I think Jernigan can be perfect because they signed Houston. You know Houston's probably going to have, if he stays healthy, 12 sacks, 40 pressures, 20 quarterback hits, you know. And they'll probably only play him on third down too.
So, Matt, do you like the Indianapolis Colts team over the Houston Texans team?
The Colts are my least favorite team in football.
What?
I hate them. I hate their jerseys. I hate Peyton Manning, this stupid face. We talked about this. I hate their mayonnaise, sour cream, French onion, you know, suit fans. But I really like what Chris Ballard has done to build this team. Like week three this year, I was talking on the same show in the same seat I'm sitting in now. I said, the Colts have a good defense. The Colts are probably good this year if Andrew Luck can ever get his arm fixed. He got his arm fixed. The Colts had a top 10 defense. Darius Leonard was an all pro. A lot of like the smaller picks they made end up working out, making the same signs that they're making right now. The one thing that surprised me with Indy, though, is that they had $100 million in cap space this year. And the biggest sign they made was Justin Houston and then signing, you know, Devin Funchess from Carolina for like a 1-year $13 million deal. And so I still think they should try to trade for Antonio Brown. I thought they should have tried to get like more impact players, spend some more money, but they're just doing what they did before and they're not changing. And you know, now they have $72 million and so they can just sign whoever it is they want to sign. And there's really kind of no questions about it because guys like to play for the most money, you know.
Yeah, I mean, guys just want to play for money, of course.
Girls just want to have fun. Guys just want to play for money. Girls don't like boys. They just like cars and money. You like that
what
one?
What are we even going on? Okay, so back to the...
Hey, you know what band sang that song?
What band sang that
song? Good Charlotte, dude. Good Charlotte.
It's a new day.
Yeah, it's good, man. Play some Madden 2001 with Marshall Faulk on the cover.
It's still weird that Good Charlotte was a band in Madden, and now you wouldn't even think of that, and people would make fun of you if you ever, like, said that. Hey, did you listen to Good Charlotte on Madden?
Hell yeah.
Don't talk to me again.
Yeah, going to seventh grade, some fun times.
All right, so either way, when it goes back to the Indianapolis Colts, I think it's kind of funny because I'm with you that they are most likely going to get Jerrigan, and the fact that they already have Houston lined up with them. I just feel like the offense, they may not think that they need anything, and that's why they went with Ted Ginn over anything else. Because otherwise,
well,
it's
they signed Ginn too.
Funches. No, it's Funches, not Ginn. So I think they're just wanting another speedster, because otherwise, just like you said, they have so much money. But yet, they're not spending it. They're not going above and beyond crazy with some of these other contracts. Or they're just waiting for the craziness to die down. Maybe during the draft, they may be moving some things.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I could think of is if they trade, because they have 2 second-round picks this year's draft.
Yeah.
They have the Jets' second-round pick next year, too. Maybe they trade a second to, like, the Buccaneers, for example, and take on Gerald McCoy's contract. Like, that's something I could see them doing. I think that's an avenue that, you know, Texans should have explored going this offseason. They really haven't. And also, like, a lot of teams in general haven't explored that way to get players as well, too, as much as you would thought. Well, I guess the Jets did by trading for Azamelli. The Browns did by trading for, you know, Olivier Vernon as well, too. But I thought we were going to see a lot more, but we only saw 2 sorts of deals like that. And that opportunity is still there for teams like the Colts, the 49ers, the Browns, the Texans, that still have a lot of cap space left.
So do you think that the Houston Texans have a shot at winning the division?
I mean, yeah. They do, but I would still put them, like...
You said, like, the worst, even when you said, yeah.
Like, I
maybe
do.
A little.
Maybe a little bit.
I don't know.
I'm just so silly.
So
but,
silly all the time.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, of course, they have Deshaun Watson. They have a really great run defense. But, I mean, there's still a lot of problems here. And, like, the offseason still isn't close to being over. They still have the draft. There's still a lot of guys out there to sign. There's still trades they can make. They still have a lot of resources available to them. So, yeah, I mean, of course they still do. But, I felt better before. I kind of wish we could hit the reset button on this whole offseason, because the Texans do have Deshaun Watson on his rookie contract, and this is the time to spend a bunch of money to take advantage of that, and they haven't done it all whatsoever. Like, they're building their team like how the Ravens built their team when they had Flacco at $30 million a year, which is how you should build your team when you have a quarterback for $25 million or $28 million or $22 million. But when you're paying Watson $7 million, this isn't how you build a team.
By the way, it's not like my team's in that. It's like the Texas teams, for some reason, are just doing the exact same thing right now. Hey, we have like a young quarterback. You know what we should do? Let's just not do anything.
Yeah, let's just keep saving
let's
money.
Let's just hang out. Should we like be spending money on anything? No, let's not do that. Hey, and if you're Dallas, let's just be paying guys that don't even play for our team anymore.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a good idea. Yeah,
Can't wait.
I'm in. So what should we do whenever their contracts are coming up?
Don't pay them.
Let's pay them everything we possibly can.
No, they're not paying anybody.
Dude, Dak is going to be, oh my God.
Well, that's
I need him. I need him to just take the hometown. Take the hometown discount,
just
man.
Just let him to be.
Listen to this podcast and take the hometown. Just do it.
No, just let him be kind of bad again this year. And then
what
you
do you mean
kind of
bad? He's not going to be bad. He's not going to be bad
don't
at all.
Say
what
that.
Are you talking about?
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
We're going for it all, Matthew.
And we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about, you know, going for it all some more. And make sure to hit that big, fat subscribe button.
It's skinny, I thought.
And we're back. So the next player I have here, that next free agency fit I like Jeremy Parnell, former right tackle of Jacksonville Jaguars, going to the Miami Dolphins to play right tackle. The Dolphins recently lost Juwan James in free agency to the Denver Broncos on an enormous overpay. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick may die in Miami. this is going to be like an any given Sunday sort of season
for
him.
This?
I have no idea.
Like, it doesn't make any sense, because they also did it with Jay Cutler too. What do y'all do? What's your plan? It's like we're running a team, or it's like a guy who's not even looking at or watching football is running the team. Hey, we need a quarterback. Who's out
there?
But
like, but I mean, that team with Cutler, though, for example, even Tannehill the year before, they had James, they had Tunsil, they had Pouncey, they paid Josh Sitton. You know, like they had
Miami's paid for an offensive
line. I understand. They're the worst team in football as of right now. They're my pick for the worst team.
They're your,
right. Yeah, they're 32. If there was 35, they'd be 35.
So you think that the Arizona Cardinals are better?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, how you're really confident.
Yeah. They're going to bounce back this year. but yeah, I think Partnell will be a good right tackle to replace Juwan James. And like I'm saying about Fitzpatrick, he dives head first all the time. He takes awful hits. Like, it's going to be any given Sunday where the quarterback, you know, is going to dial. It's like, he's going to be Dennis Quaid this year playing in Miami behind the offensive line, just like on the verge of dying every play. Sign Jeremy Partnell. Don't start like Chaz Green or whoever it is slated to start left guard for him. Maybe Chaz Green plays for the Cardinals. I don't know.
By the way, okay, so first of all.
Oz Green.
Why did you pick Miami for him to be able to go to that team? Out of anybody else, like, you couldn't just think of a team that would be better for more deserving of a player? Miami deserves nothing, Matt.
Well, I mean, Parnell's fine. Like, I wanted Houston to sign Parnell as, like, tackle competition, but instead they signed Matt Khalil today, hasn't been good since 2011.
I actually would think that Parnell would be great as on a good team.
Like, you want him to be your third tackle.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Like, Cameron Fleming in Dallas. Like, Parnell could be that sort of player.
Yeah, it's more like you just have a guy that you can input at any time in case somebody else comes out. You can just plug and play. Miami's not going to plug and play. Miami's going to put him in and be like, you're our savior. We need you to protect Fitzmagic. You are the magic to his Fitz.
Are you excited for like the first month of the season when Fitzpatrick has
he's
10 touchdowns?
By the way, are you going to pick
Parker
him up in fantasy?
I may draft Devontae Parker.
It's like somebody has to pick Fitz because the first 3 weeks are going to be magical.
Yeah.
After that, though, man, it's all downhill.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they draft a quarterback? I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either.
I don't think there's anybody
they
like.
I mean, I think if I was building an NFL team, what I would do, I would start from the beginning. If I'm starting from the beginning, like if I'm running the Dolphins, I'm not drafting a quarterback for probably 2 years, and I'm trying to invest in the offensive line, defensive line, or whatever, try to develop a core competency that I know I'm really good at this, so this other stuff I don't invest as much in. Develop a good exoskeleton, then draft the quarterback, then put the brain in the robot, and then actually be, you know, trying to win some games. And draft a quarterback and put him in a good situation to be in. Or just, like, sign Nick Foles for $18 million a year.
At this point, I feel like I would just be drafting, like, the greatest safety.
Or just draft a quarterback every year.
No, I wouldn't even do a quarterback. I would be drafting defense. I'd go straight defense, and I'd be straight cornerback, straight safeties. I'd go that route with it, only because since this is now a passing league all the freaking time, why wouldn't you just want the best? And again, it's my favorite position, but also at the same time, safeties, so you saw what they're getting paid right now. I feel like it's going to be pretty quick here when in the draft they're going to be going in the top five, and it's because people need it.
I can see a safety on
the
top.
Look at what Earl Thomas was just paid. Do you really think Earl Thomas deserves that type of money? For his injury, same leg, twice.
4 years ago, yeah.
Exactly my
point.
Like,
but, I mean, the way free agency works, though, is that you're not paying what the guy's worth.
You're paying what
it takes for him to get there.
Oh, no. They're paying what he did. He's not going to get there.
I mean, he's going to be really good in Baltimore.
You think he's going to be $35 million guaranteed good?
No, but he'll be, like, worth $10 million a year probably for 2 years good.
For 2 years. Two years, Tim.
He was awesome last year until he broke his leg.
Yeah, but I'm in close to what his
but that's what I mean.
Is.
Like, you're kind of like, you're getting value for the first 2 years of his contract, and then you're losing value for the next two. And you probably come on that third year anyways, and you pay him $5 million, and you have like, you know, $5 million skin mark on your cap sheet, but who cares?
What's a skin mark?
Skin mark.
What's a skin mark?
A skin mark.
Skin mark.
We got bug juice and skin marks.
Bug juice. Butt buddies
bug
and
juice.
Skin marks.
It was bug juice and skin marks. Another guy I like here, I like TJ Yeldon signing with the Los Angeles Rams. TJ Yeldon's just kind of like a crappy version of Lamar Miller. He's a really good outside zone runner. The Rams are notorious for their outside zone running game. I think he could do that a lot. Todd Gurley also, the rumor mill with the inside sources, that the guys I know on the inside, you know, they told me that Todd Gurley may have arthritic knees. So, you know, just like making sure you have three running backs this year, I think is important for the Rams. Not just two, but three. And Yeldon's also a competent pass catcher. He's a good outside zone runner. I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars ever fully utilized him correctly. And also, you know, he's 25, and it's not like he's ever had like a big 250 carry season. He's been limited to, you know, 150 targets a year or so.
But when, hold on. I feel like TJ Yeldon has had a shot. Only because.
But he played a power run scheme.
That's
with
true,
the,
but he also,
with
they moved him to passing. They would change the offense for TJ Yeldon. Because when Fournette would go out, then they would be stuck with Yeldon. Then they had to work the offense around him, which is where Blake Bortles was then forced to pass more often because they couldn't power run.
Yeah, well, Bortles would just run for first downs, yeah, or he'd catch dump offs. I'm just saying,
Matt Bortles
Yeldon,
is so good. Like, well, he is the second coming.
He can go
okay?
hang out with Bortles in Los Angeles. But yeah, I think Yeldon needs to play an outside zone scheme. The Jaguars never had that sort of style. And the Jaguars that threw to him was just like dump offs because, you know, they didn't have a quarterback to throw the ball downfield on 3rd and 12, that sort of thing.
So you think the Rams are going to have Gurley, Anderson, Yeldon?
Anderson probably is going to stay there.
Why wouldn't Anderson stay there?
Because he's a free agent and he was like good for 2 weeks.
Anderson, yeah, but dude, he was the reason why they went to the Super Bowl.
He wasn't the reason why I went to
He was the reason why the Dallas Cowboys lost to them.
Todd Gurley, I think, had 120 yards and 10 carries that game.
Oh, yeah? How many did C.J. Anderson have?
Like, he had 20 carries for, like, 150 yards.
You know what? I'm going to give it to C.J. Anderson over Todd Gurley. By the way, poor Todd. Do you think he's ever going to be the same?
I just think he needs some R&R, you know?
I don't think that's going to help.
Do some yoga,
all.
Todd.
I don't think that yoga is going to be helping if you're saying that he has arthritic knees.
Arthritic.
Arthritic?
Yeah, arthritic.
I think you're like making more
arthritis is a noun. Arthritic is an adjective.
I feel like you're making words up right now.
No, I'm not.
I don't think that makes sense. Arthritic. I don't think you understand what that word means.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think
maybe you should go on like a low carb diet because the insulin flares up the arthritis.
Inconceivable.
Yep. The next one here. This is a big one. Are you ready for it?
Oh, I'm ready.
Ezekiel Ansah, the Oakland Raiders. Oh. The Raiders had. I think they had the worst pass rush in football. I think they had 12 sacks last year. Do you all right, over under, Taylor, you ready for it? You ready? How many sacks did the Raiders have last year? I'm gonna set the number at 12.
Oh,
did
season.
The Raiders have more or less than 12 sacks last year?
They had 9 total sacks.
9 total
they
sacks.
They had 9 total sacks for the whole season.
I think I was right with it by saying 12.
No, you're wrong.
Oh my gosh.
I was right, wasn't I?
No, I gotta go all the way down.
No,
here.
I was right. You're changing it now.
They had 13 sacks last year.
Ooh.
13. You know who led their team with sacks last season?
Who?
Maurice Hurst. He had 4. He's a 23-year-old defensive tackle.
That's good.
Bruce Irvin had 3. And then their safety, Carl Joseph, had 2.
That's pretty
and,
solid.
And Maurice Hurst, he is the...
By the way,
a fifth-round pick.
Adds up to 9.
He's a fifth-round. Well, I mean, there's other guys there. But Maurice Hurst is a fifth-round pick, defensive tackle, second teams in sacks with 3. But, yeah, I mean, Ezekiel Ansah, you know, he was a dominant pass rusher, had injuries. Last year he played pretty well whenever he got healthy, and the Raiders need a pass rush. They do have cap space. Calling my accountant here, they have $33 million right now available. Ansah would provide immediate pass rush help at the moment. There's really not a whole lot of other pass rushing options available. And, like, I think Ansah fits in pretty well there. And, like, the Raiders are going to try to win at least some games this year, as seen by the Williams signing and the Antonio Brown signing, too.
I think Ansah should be going to the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like that we
That'd be
should
good
be
too.
Able to use him. Oh, I know it's going to yeah. be good, which is why I said it.
How much money would you give him?
All right, so now we're back to this. All right, let's go with the 1 year, $9 million.
All right.
Let's just do it.
That works.
Just
then you have $10 million to sign your draft picks.
That's all I need.
And then you can tell.
Because I don't have a first. Who needs a first when you have Amari?
You don't need a first.
Yeah. Dude, Amari, Cobb. I won the Super Bowl. Just give me the Super Bowl. Jason Witten. Give me the Super Bowl already.
Sean
Gallup,
Lee.
Sean Lee.
Yeah.
Just give me the Super Bowl trophy, man. This is what I'm here for. By the way, I hate the Sean Lee signing. God.
You just restructured him. To
I don't
keep him.
Care. I don't want to restructure to keep him. Get off my team, old man.
Whenever y'all play 4-3 defenses, he's fine. He can.
Oh,
he can
he's
stay
fine.
On the field.
He's adequate.
He just can't play in nickel.
Yeah, I need him to.
The
get
problem
off.
Is that whenever they play nickel and they're like, "Hey, Jalen Smith, sit this one out. We're gonna put Sean in."
Jalen, we don't need you this play. You're gonna take this one off. No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jalen, sit down.
You can't run a dime defense with Sean Lee, and Dallas is going to do it. It's going to be funny.
I hate you.
But except he won't make it that far in the season.
He won't.
I like Glover Quinn to play for the Kansas City Chiefs at safety because they did cut Eric Berry, save a bunch of money. And him and Tyrann Mathieu, I think, is a fine safety core. And I have a question for you, a very important question.
I love questions.
Jamie Collins, where do you think he should play next year? Outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense. Remember, the Browns traded for him from New England, was hurt in 2017, came back, played all right last year.
He should go to Baltimore.
Go to Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah, he fit in well there.
He should go to Baltimore.
He can replace CJ Mosley. I like that one.
Yeah, I feel like, though, that Baltimore hasn't really – they're not going to be good. I feel bad for Lamar Jackson. They're going to ask him to do too much. He's going to have to score way too many points. I just don't see how it's going to work.
It's weird how much money Baltimore spent this year.
Yeah, but it's not good money.
I mean, I think Earl Thomas is going to be really good still.
You still think that that guaranteed money is bad. I'm not even going to touch on that. Other than that, though, dude, it's not good. Like, it is not good.
I'm trying. I think they signed some wide receivers well, too. I don't know. I mean, Baltimore is Baltimore. I think they'll be fine.
Problem is, Baltimore is supposed to be Baltimore, where you're excited to watch them because they're supposed to be that rough team that's supposed to give Pittsburgh issues. And now, dude, Cleveland's going to run away with that division. They're going to run away.
I mean,
you heard it here first.
I think it's still going to be a mess.
Pittsburgh's the mess.
I think it's going to be a mess in Cleveland. I mean, like, I think it's just, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a mess completely. I think it's just, it's going to, something bad's going to happen there.
Nothing bad's going to happen. Was Baker going to grab his crotch and say, Odell, you don't have this? Is that what he's going to do?
Man, that's a mean. That'd be a mean.
Is that what he's going to do? That'd be so hardcore.
That'd be a mean thing to say.
Like, if that were to ever happen, how long would the media talk about it?
You wish you had this. Oh,
you wish you had this.
I like his moxie.
Listen, I think Baker was a little out of line that he did it in public. I mean, maybe behind closed doors, it would have been better suited.
Hey, I really enjoy how competitive it is. And this is a competitive league, and these are competitive men.
What do you expect him to do out there?
Doing competitive things. They just love to compete.
That'd be so awesome.
All right. So I want to go over Baltimore real fast to end tonight's show. So Baltimore, they re-signed Tavon Young. They trade Joe Flacco for a 4th-round pick, which was really unbelievable.
I can't believe they got a 4th out of that, yeah.
Ozzie Newsome retired, which was sad to have happen.
That's what I
They waived Alex Collins. They released Eric Weddle, which is surprising. They re-signed Nick Boyle for 3 years, $18 million. So they have, like, three tight ends. They're all kind of the same.
And they're not, yeah, exactly.
I am kind of sad that Max Williams only has two X's to his name. Just put the third one in there, Max. Do it for me. They signed Mark Ingram for 3 years, $15 million. Which seemed like too much money.
Yeah, what is that going to do?
He's, like, 29 years old. They signed Earl Thomas for 4 years, $55 million. They signed Justin Bethel, and they re-signed Robert Griffin III. And that's been their offseason so far, so it's kind of weird.
That is a gross offseason. You know, it's more even more depressing than that. That's more than what Dallas has done this offseason.
Yeah.
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 God.
Well, hey, there's still guys out there, as we talked about tonight. There's still a lot of guys, a lot of good guys out there. You need a loving home. So, you know, give them a call.
And the puppy was lost. And he came home because the puppy missed his family.
And the puppy in this case is Jordy Nelson going back home to Green Bay.
Yeah, I keep thinking that's going to happen more than anything. Poor Jordy. He lost that big step. Even though, what if he didn't and he just needed Aaron in his life?
Ooh.
What if Aaron is the step? What if that's... they need to make a movie out of this. Aaron and Jordy. A and J.
No, I like that.
You like that? AJ?
I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and I guess there's a rumor that the Patriots are trying to trade for AJ Green right now.
I'm surprised Cincinnati hasn't given that up.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, AJ, I love
with
AJ
his injuries,
Green.
I think
that's,
you would.
That's where I'm
him.
At. It's like, AJ's not going to stay healthy. He is going to be great. It's not to say he's going to get healthy quick. He's going to stay put, but he can't last a whole season.
Yeah, it's like him and Julio Jones have reversed careers, where AJ was healthy at the beginning of his career, Julio was hurt, and now they've kind of flipped.
The thing is because AJ's too thin. I mean, he's a
it's
skull
foot,
thin
though.
Man. That's what I mean. Like, there's just,
right now, it's his foot.
Isn't it? Yeah, is it like toe? Is
yeah, his toe last year is all messed up.
My toe's messed up. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you should catch a touchdown one of these days. You maybe somebody care about your toe.
Why don't you care about my toe?
I just don't like feet.
You want to rub my feet?
Nah, dude.
You're not a friend.
I'd rather do anything.
I'd rather do anything?
Yeah. Like in this podcast. So, anyways, thank you for listening to this show tonight, everybody. Thank you for sitting here with me, Taylor. I think we're going to do another show next Tuesday where we will recap the Texans' first 2 weeks of free agency so we can complain about Matt Khalil, what the Texans may or may not be doing, what their actual strategy is. I talk about Bradley Roby, which I wrote, you know, just such a fantastic article about. I talk about Brian Body Calhoun. That guy spells his name Brian, B-R-E-I-A-N. Crazy.
He's just trying to be an a-hole.
Yeah.
That's all he's trying to do.
Well, I think he got to name himself. So I guess
are we sure about that?
I think you're talking about his mother. I'm going to tell him he said that.
Dude, don't tell her. She knows me.
Yeah. And then we'll be back on you and I next week sometime, and we'll go over our least favorite free agency signings.
I'm busy
first.
That day. Sorry, can't make it.
And the week after that, we'll go over our favorite free agency signings, and then we're going to sit here and just do a mock draft, be in the war room for, you know, 4 hours. I'm going to turn this room into a sauna, and we'll sit here just sweat and podcast and do a whole mock draft.
And in the background, we have to have draft day going. By the way, that is a good movie.
I've never seen it.
What?
I'm never going to see
okay,
it.
Okay, no.
I just
no,
heard
Matt,
it's too outlandish.
Matt, okay. It is the most ridiculous movie on planet Earth, but it's done really well. I never had a desire to see it, and then my dad one day was like, Taylor, I saw it on HBO. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I watched it. It's pretty freaking solid.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm watching.
Come on, man. It describes the war room. You and I can just reenact Kevin Costner in the war room.
I'm not a Kevin Costner guy.
Okay. I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
Waterworld may be one of the greatest movies on planet Earth.
Well, maybe. We only speak in absolutes here. I don't know. I got other things to do. I'm learning about rocks and watching Mad Men. So, anyways, thank you for listening to the show tonight, everybody. Hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your enemies. Tell the zookeeper at your local zoo to listen to the show. And we'll be back on next week.
I want to be a zookeeper.